home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hour number two here on the show. Matt Miller is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He's the founder of thedraftscout.com. ESPN NFL draft analyst that Lance knows well. We'll talk a little bit about the draft, but he's also in Kansas City, so we'll talk about this Chiefs team. Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBS Sports, will join us 1 hour from now, so we will talk to him. He did a piece about why the ACC doesn't want college football expansion. Everybody's got their selfish reasons of what they want with the playoff. Everybody has differing opinions about what would be best. So we'll find out how where that bickering is coming in and why it's not done yet, why we don't have a college football expanded playoff yet. So this story is Christopher Knox did a story on who would be the best fits. It's a Bleacher Report story as well. Who would be the best fits for Davis Mills? And what does Davis Mills need? He needs a quarterback whisperer, right?
Yeah.
I thought they did a pretty good job. Yeah, the Texans.
It didn't have to be a head coach.
The Texans had the worst offense in the league. There's no argument there. I mean, there's no question about that. No running game whatsoever.
I don't know that that's on Tim Kelly.
No. How about look at their offensive line and their running backs?
They were missing. Yeah, it was a mess. Like, it's hard to run an offense if nobody believes that you can run the football.
Yeah.
It really is hard. I don't put that on Tim Kelly.
And look what Davis Mills did with that collection of wide receivers as well. I mean, if you rank the Texans wide receivers against the rest of the league, it's at best bottom third. Mm-hmm. At best. I mean, Davis relied heavily on Brandon Cooks. Yes, but wouldn't you? I mean, when you're looking at the rest of the outside of Nico, who's got upside, but probably, I don't know, you know, I don't watch every snap of Nico from the all 22. I would imagine he wasn't separating all that much. And then who else is there? Moore, Conley, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, so what? I blaming all this on Tim Kelly to me is just ridiculous.
I agree with you. I think it's much more has to do with the roster first and foremost. You just don't have good players. You knew that going in. I know it's easy. You want to have somebody that you can blame it on because it makes it easier. You think, okay, if we replace that person, everything's going to get better. We just need to replace that person and everything gets better. Fact is, it's not going to be that easy. You're not a coordinator away from, or a head coach away from being good. You're several players away from being good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Tim Kelly might be the easy scapegoat, or some people say a scapegoat. But he is, you replace Tim Kelly with the same, and you let Pep Hamilton call all the plays. You think you're really kicking ass with that offense? That running game, no, it's not going to change. Listen, it's not going to be any different. So you got to get better. Nick's got to get some better players.
Well,
or Jack. Let Jack pick him. That guy's good.
No. Look, they had a decent draft. They didn't have a first or second rounder. They've got a lot of work to do to get decent players in here. And it's got to be on the offensive side of the ball. As much as I hated them getting all the Camu Grugier kills and the Malik Collins and middling veterans, they were fine defensively.
Yeah.
They were fine. I mean, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but they had their moments.
But it's the offensive side of the ball. They've got to do something. And it's got to start. You know what? It really does need to start with the coach. It really does.
The head coach, you think?
The head coach, absolutely.
So you want the head coach to be an offensive guy.
Look at the
knocks out Jared Mayo. You want a guy who's never coached in Josh McCown?
Look at McVay. Look at LaFleur. I mean, look at these guys, these young, really good offensive mind. If they really believe that Jonathan Gannon is that guy, do it. Pull the trigger.
But that's a defense coordinator.
I know. He's still a young guy that can that is going to be that is going to change. What did you see Sean McVay mic'd up in the game? Did you see any of that?
Where
the relationship that he has with those players?
Oh yeah,
it's not like an older coach can't love his guys. But the how they relate. Van Jefferson caught a pass. Van Jefferson came back. Thanks, coach, for believing in me, all this stuff. Even Odell was hugging McVay.
Mm-hmm. He's a different guy now. He is like friendly Gruden. He's got a lot of Gruden characteristics from when Gruden was, he kind of looks like him. He's built like him. He has the same energy that young Gruden had. The difference is he's not salty and sour and kind of a little bit edgy and nasty. He's got he's likable. He's like Gruden, but with the good. He's like the good football qualities of Gruden, but a better personality and more likable guy.
What about Joe?
I think LaFleur is more like Kyle Shanahan. A little more, a little more less rah rah, more cerebral, a little more get into your tail a little bit. I mean, Kyle Shanahan still has a way that he wants things done. He doesn't have to yeller and screamer. That's not what he is.
What about Joe Lombardi for Davis Mills?
I don't know enough about him. I mean, I know he's been in New Orleans. I know he's been in Chargers.
Chargers, yeah.
I mean, I like that he's been with two good quarterbacks. I don't know. Maybe. If it is a guy like Gerard Mayo, that might be fine, but you have to have the right coordinator.
How about Bieniemy
for him? Because even if you, I mean, that might be good too. I do get concerned that all the other jobs and general managers and everything, people have just come away. People have interviewed him, come away just saying he's going to be, if you interview five guys, he's going to be four or five. He's just not a great interview.
Yeah, but
he doesn't have a great plan that he comes in with, stuff like that. Yeah. I know people can act like, but if you're going to turn an entire operation over to one guy and you could get fired if that guy doesn't do well, if you're a general manager, they're trying to find the best possible coaches they can to help win games. And I'm still not hearing that. I think he'll get a job, but I'm just saying that out loud. Yeah. I don't know why this year would be any different. I think we'll see three African-American coaches hired this offseason. I'm not 100% sure he's the one. You know whose names keep coming up all the time? And we shouldn't down them just because they're older. Leslie Frazier and Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
Good football people talk about them all the time.
That was not the last thing. The last we saw of Leslie Frazier was not good. Right? Not good. I mean, it was Patrick Mahomes, but... Man, oh man, oh man! How in the world? Granted, it was just a shootout, but
what are you gonna do? I mean, you had
they were good all year. They were really good all year.
They scored two. They scored 14 points in the last, I guess seven. Well, yeah, actually, they scored 10. They scored 16 points in the last 2.5 minutes of the game. I'm counting overtime also.
Oh right. Well. It didn't take too long either to just slice him up and go down the field.
Right.
And I know it was Kansas City. I want a young guy. And listen, I'm anti Brian Flores as well. Grant the Patriots that, but I don't want a guy in the building like Bill O'Brien. Goodness gracious, you got that? I want a guy that's going to put his arm around a guy. Watching McVay and watching Kyle Shanahan and watching these guys. Listen, D'Amico Ryans might be that guy, a player's guy that other guys can relate to, and.
But be able to say this is what we stand for. Like I think when Tomlin came into the and my dad was on the staff, but when Tomlin came in, I think he was a younger guy, and the Steelers had a very veteran locker room. They could handle everything. But at some point, Tomlin had to become the voice as opposed to the locker room culture handled everything. They had great leadership. That's the thing, though. Whoever comes in, they need to have a voice that people respect. And when they you can't let a guy like D-Hop get away with not practicing. You can't. And I know people they wanted to use that against Bill O'Brien. I never use that against Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien should want his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, to get a throw to his top receiver. Now, if you want to take a veteran and you don't want him to get beat up and you want to give him some days off and all that, that's absolutely. Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. D-Hop don't want to practice in Arizona. They're having the same problems with him. He hasn't practiced for 4 years. He barely does anything.
Right.
And there's a Theragun.
That's a problem.
Was it Therabody? That commercial with DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, and D-Hop. And they show them in Chase Claypool. And they're all in practice, like, doing stuff. And they take the Theragun and shoot their body, you know, to be able to get the massage. And I'm like, what is it? D-Hop's like, what is this? I don't understand. Oh, we're simulating, like, a practice.
Oh, he's not that good an actor.
I don't want to shoot. I don't want to even do a commercial shoot where I'm pretending to practice. fell down one time because he didn't know how to practice. He's like, do we do this? Do we fall? No, D-Hop, we don't fall. It's called a practice. I know you haven't done it since you were since you're about 25.
Listen, listen. Gannon apparently, here's the problem. Like you said, Bieniemy doesn't interview well. Flores, he had a really, really hard time hiring an offensive coordinator in Miami. A really hard time. He was going to have to hire another one if he didn't get fired this offseason. Gannon appears to have a plan for that. Lombardi is an offensive coordinator. Bieniemy is an offensive coordinator. Those guys can come in here and help a young, and I don't know that Davis Mills is the answer, but I don't care who the quarterback is. You got to have a guy that's going to have a plan. Brian Flores hasn't had a plan since he became a head coach on how to run this thing offensively. Apparently Gannon does, because he was impressive enough that they said, you got a plan for this whole organization. We want to hear it again.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's when we talk about, when I talk about, I know it's, you know, people like to just take a very narrow opinion about why Eric Bieniemy hasn't had a job. And I get it. You know, I certainly get it. He comes from a very successful program. He's been a big part of that success for Kansas City. But when you get in, when I've talked to coaches and GMs and about, I say, hey, what's it like? What's the interview process like? What do you do? And you find out, talking to Alonzo Highsmith, his preparation in case he ever got interviewed by the Texans, the preparation that goes into it, the plan you have to have, the coaches, you have to say what your coaching staff looks like. Mm-hmm. You have to say what your scout, for a GM, what your scouting staff looks like and who your number ones are going to be. You have to say, this is how we will rebuild. This is what I think about our salary cap situation. This is now for a guy like Gannon in Houston, maybe he thinks, maybe you're doing less of that kind of stuff and you're doing more about your philosophy, your X's and O's, because they want to know that. They want to know your philosophies. They want to know, you know, who you learn from, who are your mentors. They try to find out who you are as a person. Because all that stuff matters. All that stuff matters. Kyle Shanahan is just uniquely wired, I think, for that job, because he got it from his dad. And his dad wasn't exactly the friendliest cuss either out there. Mike Shanahan, you know, he's known as being a little different guy. But then you have guys who do get along. You know, Pete Carroll's had a long run. And one of the things that's been successful for him is guys buy into him. I think he lets maybe a little too much go sometime, but Mike Tomlin, super long run, never had a losing record, right? I don't think he's ever had a losing record. Mike Tomlin does have standards, and he expects you to live up to the standards. So you gotta have that leadership trait, and maybe Gannon has it. Some guys are great coordinators, and they don't have the head coaching trait. Some guys are Jim Harbaugh, and you'd never even – they're special teams coaches, and they're great head coaches because they got the right – because
mm-hmm.
His players love him. Harbaugh's players love Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's players love him.
Yes.
Because they know he's down with them. He's in for
he's
him.
Goofy.
Not John.
Oh, no, Jim.
Wait.
Jim's goofy.
No, I'm thinking of, Ravens.
Oh, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of John Harbaugh. Okay. Yeah, I got my Harbaughs mixed up. Yeah. No, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, John. Yeah.
They're all in.
Speaking of which, Antonio Brown wants to go to the Ravens. How about that? How about that little match? How good would that be for Lamar? 814 ESPN 97.5. That's no jab at Lamar. I'm going to tell you that, Lance.
Well, and listen, if you are someone who is going to take a look at, you know, rebuilding your website, so your website is basically your own advertisement, right? It's either an advertisement or it's a portal for business, or it depends on what your business is. But what they can do for you is, if it's your own advertisement, they can show off all the work that you've done. They can put it in video format. They can help to do branding and social media management. They can do obviously the analytics of the page and the page developments to keep your eyes engaged on the page longer, to get to the information you need faster. That is a very, very important part of the process of building out a website. making sure, as I mentioned, that all of your work is well accounted for so people know who you are. But also, when it comes to e-commerce and, you know, building out a portal that helps you make money from your site and generate more leads, that's what my friends over at SiteJab do. 20-plus years in the business here in Houston. Go with SiteJab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:19 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about ESPN's doing 4 hours tonight? 4 hours on Hall of Fame?
I think MLB Network is.
Oh, MLB Network is. Okay. MLB Network is plans on having, well, of course it is. It's the MLB Network. What else do they have to talk about right now? About the Astros and how great they are? No. About Carlos Correa? No. So they're going to do 4 hours on the, okay, your gut. Clemens and Bonds get in tonight?
No.
Ooh, Schilling?
No. Schilling's done.
How many? What
Schilling cannot get in.
What percentage does Big Poppy get? If they're hypocritical and
Big Poppy gets in.
Tonight? A steroid guy?
Says who?
Oh, what are you talking about? He was in the Mitchell report as a steroid guy.
Did you see him use?
No one saw Roger either. You know why? Because he didn't.
Roger had a little more stuff going on. There was a lot more out there. You had a guy come out and say, "I'm the one who provided him." Like, Roger's got a little longer. He's got the Toronto stuff. Like,
had a little blade to bury in his back. That's why.
Well, maybe so, but I don't know that Roger gets in. I think Roger should get in. I think Barry Bonds should get in. If you have other guys in your Hall of Fame. I think those are Hall of Fame character. I mean, Hall of Fame caliber players. Anyway, we all know that. I don't know. You think nobody from Mitchell Report gets in?
Oh, they, apparently not.
Big Poppy? You see him? How friendly he is?
Friendly, and he drops F-bombs after the...
Hey, you know what you're going to do? I'm telling you, that kind of stuff is going to matter to people. They're not even going to think Mitchell Report, like, oh, Red Sox, Big Poppy, David Ortiz, what he meant to that. Remember when he said... After the Boston Marathon, yeah. What he said, right, and a Big right. Poppy's on there having a good time. I don't think he, you know, Barry Bonds seems, people look at Roger and Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire as ominous figures. That's what they look at. Not Big Poppy. Big Poppy, you see the way he jokes with people? Big Poppy's the Charles Barkley of the MLB broadcast. I think that matters to people. I think people who vote look at him in a more casual way because he is, oh. Big Poppy's so lovable. Yeah. See the way he goes after A-Rod? Remember when he did it? He threw the money on people? That was amazing. Remember when he did after the Boston Marathon when he used the F-word? Yeah. And he was saying what we all felt and meant. Yes. Yes. Big Poppy has got to get in. People look at him different.
I agree. Big Poppy is going to get in. I don't think he's going to have more than 49% tonight. I don't think he gets 50%. Is Ortiz going to get, here's a story about Ortiz getting into, there's a guy that tracks all of this stuff. I mean, and he's really,
and what does he say?
Really,
what does he say about everybody?
I don't know. Listen, if Big Pop, they are so, he's what?
He's currently, of the public ballots that are out there, he's at 84%.
Oh, of course the public, but they're not, the public doesn't.
Ortiz. No, public votes that have been made public.
The ones that the writers who have submitted
You're
their
talking
votes
about
and made them public? Yes, he's
yeah,
at
Poppy's
84%.
In. Poppy's
He's going to have
in.
To drop off a lot from all the guys who won't put people in, who hide their ballot. There's going to have to be a lot of them to get him down.
Right now, it's looking like maybe Ortiz is sitting at 83.7 of the public vote. With 45.4% of ballots revealed. That doesn't mean he's a lock. The percentages for the pre-result ballots are always higher, and steroid-associated players usually take an even bigger hit. Bonds was at 73.7 of his pre-result public ballots, but he got just 42.6 of the privates.
Mm.
So
there is a thought that it will be a Poppy-only Hall of Fame.
And this is his first ballot. And you know how many guys, first of all, won't vote for on your first ballot. Secondly, steroid guys. There's a bunch of guys that won't vote for steroid guys.
A-Rod's not getting in.
A-Rod's not going to.
But I don't think you have Mitch Report. I think there needs to be other. A-Rod has an entire documentary. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens had an entire case that played out, basically. Barry Bonds has, you know, Game of Shadows and all that stuff. There's nothing like that for Ortiz. And then once again, even though A-Rod's on the same set with him, people don't like him, and B, there's just too much connecting A-Rod to steroids long term, like for much of his career. So though it looks like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens have a chance to get around 65% of the vote, that's not enough to get them in. Schilling got 71.1% of the vote last year and was trending toward introduction this year, but he publicly made a big show of asking off the ballot, and it has cost him. It looks like he'll fall well shy of induction. Sammy Sosa got 17%. Let's keep an eye on the following players: Billy Wagner, Scott Rowland, Todd Helton, Gary Sheffield, Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones is an interesting one. Jeff Kent, Bobby Abreu, and Jimmy Rawlings. Who falls off? Mark Burley, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Ryan Howard, Tim Lincecum, Joe Nathan, Papelbon, Mark Teixeira, yeah, are just their guys. First years.
There's
their
just
first
a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So Bonds and Clemens are both at 77% and 76%.
They got
right
a
now.
Shot.
They got a shot.
They got a shot.
They got a shot.
They got a shot.
Kurt I think Schilling it's ridiculous is too, if they don't.
Kurt Schilling's too political.
Yeah.
And then he said, "I want off the ballot." He's done. I mean, Kurt Schilling is done.
Yeah,
his chances are done.
His chances.
I think Poppy gets in this year.
A-Rod is at 40.4%. And
he's done forever.
Bonds and Clemens received just under 40% their first time on the ballot. But he's, I think, just like Bonds and Clemens in that he's so tied to steroids. And I think he's going to have face the same stuff that Bonds and Clemens are facing right now. It's going to come down to 10 votes, whether or not he gets in. He's going to have a much rougher time because everybody loves Poppy. You know, Poppy won World Series and laughed and F-bombs and all that stuff. And while he was shooting himself up in the bathroom doing steroids.
Boston beat New York. Boston was the, you know, fought against the evil empire.
Baseball is so hypocritical.
He had the all-in for America, all-in for Boston comments after the Boston Marathon bombing. And he is the friendly, smiling guy. Yeah. Like, you can be upset about it, but that's what's going to happen.
Baseball's disgusting how hypocritical it is. Between the Astros, between steroids.
It is true.
It's
the most hypocritical.
It's the most hypocritical game ever.
Media base of all.
Yeah.
Without question.
And now they're all meeting, and we're going to. Well, I want my billions, but I want my billions, but give me my billions. Screw you, baseball. You suck. You suck, baseball. And now they're talking, yeah, we could miss some games this year. Okay, go miss some games, baseball. Hope you die.
Baseball dies?
Hope it dies.
Well, the whole sport?
It's right there on life support, thanks to Rob Manfred. He sucks. Rob Manfred is the worst commissioner ever in any sport. You know who's the best hair guy? By the way, Matt Miller is going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk a draft and Kansas City Chiefs with Matt Miller. He was in Kansas City for the game.
He was at the game.
So
I didn't hear if he got champagne sprayed on him from Pat Mahomes' fiance.
Well, everybody did. So I'm
How about
sure
being
he did.
There and she's literally spraying champagne down on top of you?
And it's 30
like
degrees.
She's blessing you with that, and you're like, what in are you doing?
Time to talk about Doc Linville, though, and the wonderfulness that is hair. And if you don't have hair, Doc Linville can change that. He can change your life. Actually, it does. There's a lot of guys probably out there. Are you sitting there and you're like, you're very self-conscious about your hair? You feel like that hairline is receding? You feel like you're just too young for it? Or even if you're older, you say, hey, I want hair. Why should I not have hair? I can afford it. It's actually very affordable. The whole thing, the whole process is easy. It is basically, I was in the chair for about 4 hours, and it is a huge, huge difference maker. Fred was in the chair about 8 hours. It was a little bit different experience for him, but he worked that day. That's how difficult this whole thing is. If you're looking for hair, Doc Linville is ready for you. He's the best. He's getting unbelievable results, and that's what the most important thing is. But he has turned into one of the biggest hair replacement guys in the city. You're looking for that? 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Matt Miller joining us here. He's the founder of Draft, thedraftscout.com, and ESPN NFL draft analyst. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Lance says you are responsible for a bunch of followers.
Matt, I'm going to tell you this right now. As I was toiling and grinding and coming up, Matt was a guy, and I've always had a lot of respect for Matt. Matt's, first of all, he's a really good guy. But secondly, Matt promoted me when I was on the come up and, you know, brought eyes to my work. And I always appreciated that because I try to do the same thing in like radio and other stuff with Jordan Reed, who ended up at ESPN, because, you know, I don't look at it as competition. They're just people are also in the space. They're colleagues. And so I probably told you that before, but I always appreciated you doing that because I thought that was a really cool move for you to do something like that when you didn't have to.
Oh man, that makes me feel old, number one. But thank you, right? Like it's crazy to look back now and be like, gosh, I've been doing it professionally for 12 years, doing it as a hobby for like 20, probably is what it feels like. But I agree, Lance. I try to do the same thing, and I've admired your work forever. You know that. But to see this next wave of draft analysts come up, because it's hard. You know, there aren't many jobs that are full-time jobs covering the NFL draft, and it is competitive. But when you see someone who's willing to do the work and they're doing it, you know, the right way without trying to, you know, punch up at people like Jordan Reed, who you mentioned, who I'm a huge fan of, I think that's where there's this nice little community surrounding the draft that can be really helpful for each other.
So I want to get into a quarterback this is something I brought up on the internet that sparked, I think, some pretty good discussions. And you were at the game and watched Josh Allen. Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen. Those are two quarterbacks that I was way too light on. And they're both and they're very similar in many, many ways. And I think the one component that is very hard to evaluate is the mental component. If someone has that special mentality, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, I mean, special quarterbacks have a special mental component. And I think Josh Allen has it, and I know Pat Mahomes has it. I made the point that people really were too rough on Josh Allen personally. I thought they were personal. I thought the talk shows on TV were too rough. The fans booing him and all that stuff that they did. Talk for a second about quarterback, we have a young one here in Davis Mills, about how difficult it is or how important it is to have patience and to know, understand the timing of when to cut bait and when to extend with a quarterback.
Oh, it's huge, Lance. And I'll say I was way too light on Patrick Mahomes coming out, you know, watching him at Tech. I thought, gosh, this guy's going to take a while. And at that time, you know, in 2017, we weren't really living in an era where you give quarterbacks time. It was, you're drafted in the top 10, you're starting as a rookie, sink or swim, right? And I thankfully he went to a situation where he didn't have to do that. I loved Josh Allen. And this one year after Mahomes, I felt like the game had started to change a little bit. I had Josh as my number two quarterback. And
yeah, that's right.
I only got scared at the last second and just moved him like just a tiny bit below Sam Darnold. So I loved Josh Allen. And I do think that one thing right now is what we're seeing is it's weird how there's almost like an inconsistency. Like Josh Rosen gets drafted 10 overall. You know, just burns his way through that locker room. Nobody likes him. Okay, they cut bait after 1 year. He's traded. It's like situations like that make it really easy to be like, okay, we have to move on. I think the situations that are harder are a guy like Baker Mayfield or Daniel Jones, where you see glimpses. And I think with quarterbacks, it's like when you start dating a girl and you see all the red flags, but she's really good looking, and you're like, man, you know, if we could just fix these one or two red flags, this is wife material. And I think we do the same thing with quarterbacks, where it's just, man, if we could fix these one or two things, when oftentimes those one or two things are not going to get fixed. I think the other thing that makes it difficult is supply and demand. You know, as we're seeing with the 2022 draft class, like you would love to move on from Baker Mayfield. You'd probably love to move on from Daniel Jones. But who are you going to draft? Who are you going to draft in the top 10 or 12 picks that is a viable quarterback that you feel like, okay, this player is going to be better than the guy that we have in the building? I think that is something that complicates it a lot this year, is that, you know, in a traditional draft like last year, where we had five guys in the top 15, you could say, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt a lot, and he doesn't really, you know, advance the ball we want him to. Let's draft a replacement. That just doesn't exist in this draft class right now.
Matt Miller, at NFL Draft Scout, at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Matt, give me a scenario. Let's say Hutchinson and Thibodeau go 1-2. Give me a scenario where the Texans, who would want to come up? Is there anything that anybody would want to come up for so the Texans can trade down and get more picks?
Yeah, I think the offensive tackle, Evan Neal, is definitely someone that could go number one overall. So if he's on the board at 3 and if the Texans are, you know, comfortable with Laramie Tunsil coming back, then you would say, okay, maybe the Giants are a team that would want to get ahead of the New York Jets, number 4 overall. Maybe they'd want to get a tackle. Maybe the Carolina Panthers, although I think we see Carolina trading. They're going to be pretty aggressive at trying to get a veteran quarterback. So I think the best bet if the Texans are trying to get out of 3 is to do that in order to get somebody to come up to get one of the offensive tackles. I would think if you're sitting there at 3 and Kayvon Thibodeau or Aiden Hutchinson are on the board, you'd probably just draft them. And like Lance said with Davis Mills, I thought I saw enough from Davis Mills the last 6 weeks of the season to say this is better than anybody you're going to draft in 2022, and you've already got a starting point of him being in the system, him being in the rooms with the front office now, you know, different coaching staff coming in. But I would look at it that way. If you're hell-bent on trading, then it's you're probably having somebody come up for a tackle. But the other argument is, you know, I've heard from people, I don't know what you guys have heard being down there in Houston, I've heard Laramie Tunsil might be available if teams were to call and ask. So I think that also sets up an interesting scenario where you might want that offensive tackle if he's on the board.
Yeah, and I think I've been kind of against moving Tunsil just because it's hard finding guys like Tunsil. But if you're not bought into the locker room, if you don't think it's a culture fit, you're at the point right now where the Texans, it's just time to move on. And so I do think there's value there. It will be intriguing to see if a team like, you know, do you shoot for a number one from a team like the Cincinnati Bengals? You obviously need to have a team with some cap space. But I don't love the third pick, interestingly enough, but I do think the middle of the first round has a lot of value in this draft. I think that's where the Texans moving back or trading Tunsil and getting another pick in the first, I think that one offers a lot of value for the Texans.
It does, and Lance, I don't know how far you are into your draft prep this year, but it feels like it's a really weird year where I was telling someone this the other day, there's those, you know, two guys, Thibodeau and Hutchinson, who everybody loves, they're up there. Then there's, like, you know, the number 3 overall player, whether it's Evan Neal or Kyle Hamilton or Derek Stingley, whoever you have as number 3 player, it feels like there's a lot of guys that could fit in that group, but they would, in a normal draft class, be like, you know, a mid-first-round guy. And so I think you're right, the value this year in the mid-first round is probably going to be exceptional, especially if we see teams get crazy and draft these quarterbacks earlier than they should, because it's a deep year at tackle, it's a deep year at wide receiver, it's a deep year for edge rushers. Like it's really a pretty – you don't have those guys who were like last year where we had – Jamar Chase goes 5th overall, you know. It's not going to be like that this year where there's generational players going in the top 5. But I think what will happen is there's going to be really good players available between picks – you know, 8 and 15, and they're players who will be, you know, day one quality starters, maybe not, you know, super high-ceilinged all-pro type guys, but just, like, really good football players.
I think it's also a deep year for me at corner and safety. I've been really impressed with some of the safeties I've seen in this year's draft, like deeper than I remember it maybe in years, where I like top 3-round safeties. I think it's going to be a good year. And the cornerbacks, I like guys like McDuffie, Gordon, Sauce Gardner. You know, there's great traits for Stingley, but I think he's got to actually stay on the field and show it. But I mean, the talent is all there. So that's another direction I think the Texans could look at. And of course, I think just to give you a heads up, I think Hamilton's going to end up being my number one rated player in the draft. I know he's not a safety, he's not going to go first, and I'm not saying that, but I think,
right.
I think Hamilton has some very, from Notre Dame, has some very special physical attributes, matchup attributes, in football character. So, and he is physical for being a longer, you know, leaner looking player. He's going to carry 230 pounds on his frame is what I was told. And, but he's going to stay at safety. So 230 pound David Fulcher type killer at safety who can run, that's
but
rare.
Do you take him? See, that's the problem. There are a lot of good safeties, a lot of good offensive linemen, and that's where the Texans are.
Do you take him third? Is like, no, I'd rather have him seventh, honestly.
Right, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was telling someone last that Kyle Hamilton is this year's Kyle Pitts. And it's like, it's just this player who almost transcends what you would normally think of a safety or a tight end. And it's just, they are, you know, such a rare athletic breed for what they do. And Kyle Hamilton, as you mentioned, I will gush about him for the next 4 months because the football character, the competitiveness, the toughness, and that he just completely takes over when he's on the field is fantastic. So it is, and you're right, he's a player you'd rather draft at 6 or 7 and feel really good about that because you probably have now another late first or early second round pick where you can grab, you know, one of the corners, one of the edge rushers, someone like that.
ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What order do you have the quarterbacks in?
Oh gosh, I hate this question right now. So I have, and I'll preface this. It's been a weird 2 years with COVID, right? And I changed jobs, going from Bleacher Report to starting my own thing to going to ESPN. So I haven't been on the road as much as I normally would have been. So I have it right now without having seen a lot of these guys in person. I have Kenny Pickett at the top, and that's probably just me being safe, you know, hedging a little bit because I have seen him the most. I'm not wowed by his traits necessarily, but I do think that he is good enough at everything that he could be a quality NFL starter. After that, I have Matt Crowell and Malik Willis pretty much neck and neck. I think they're both really intriguing guys based on traits. I have a lot of questions about, as we were talking about earlier, with Malik Willis, you've never seen him throw against great defenses. You've also never seen him throw with much help at wide receiver. So I think there's questions there with him and Matt Crowell. There's questions about the scheme that he's coming out of. I've heard some personality stuff with him. Then I think Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell and Carson Strong are kind of together. And I'm still really intrigued by Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky. I know he's a little bit of an older prospect like Kenny Pickett, but man, he just throws a pretty football. And I think if he got in the right situation, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tom Brady or anything like that, but in the right situation, I mean, he could be a quality NFL starter.
The guy that I'm kind of like, I thought Carson Strong's tape, he has some really great stuff. The knee is a non-starter for me. I think it's going to be an issue for him moving forward in his career. So I have to put a cap on where I grade him. And then I'll be honest. I I'm not a Sam Howell guy. And I thought I was going to be. And I turned on the tape. I was like, this isn't at all what I was expecting to see. So it's going to be fun to watch how people. I'm on the opposite side of a lot of picks. DeMarvin Leal, I see as like a third rounder from A&M. You've still got people who have him in the top 10. I think this is going to be a really interesting year because it is not a great draft year. It's deep, but it's not high end. And I think the opinions on players are going to be as varied as we've probably ever seen. So I'm interested in moving forward with the process. But here in Houston, we finally have a first and second round pick. Yep. So we're actually excited about the draft for the first time in 2 years.
It's different. It's different here.
It'll be nice.
You were in Kansas City for the game, Matt. Did you get sprayed with champagne after the
from
game?
From Mahomes' fiance?
Unfortunately not. I know everybody's kind of killing them for that. But I can tell you, if someone had done that, we were sitting in kind of the corner of where the end zone kind of curves around. So we were at about the 10-yard line. If someone would have done that, I'm not even a Chiefs fan, but my kids and my fiance are. They would have turned around and been trying to guzzle it up. I think what people forget when you see it on Monday morning on the internet is that the like energy and the excitement of a team coming back. You know, because I'll tell you, when the Bills scored, and they scored the opposite end zone from us, but when they scored, that place deflated completely. And Arrowhead, if you've never been there, it's wild. It's loud. There's a ton of energy. And it completely deflated, unlike anything I've ever seen there before. So I think when they, you know, scored with the final drive with 13 seconds left, and then as soon as that coin toss landed and it came up heads, I think everyone in Arrowhead knew the game was over. So there was a lot of excitement there. You know, a lot of people in this area really felt like they'd been disrespected all week because all the talk was about the Bills. A lot of the national media picked the Bills. There's still this thing going around here where I don't even know who it was. They said that Mahomes was like the fifth best quarterback in the playoffs when the playoffs started. So there's like, weirdly for a team that's been in four straight AFC championship games, there's definitely a chip on the shoulders of a lot of Chiefs players and a lot of Chiefs fans. So I did not get a champagne bath, unfortunately. I like to have a good time, so I would have definitely jumped in on that.
Well, hey, you wouldn't have had a choice if they were raining down champagne from on top.
No choice at all.
Listen, I'm not gonna bash somebody for pouring alcohol on me. Okay,
but you'd rather drink it.
I'd rather drop. But like you said, even the kids would have turned around, open your mouth, and it's raining manna.
Hey, before we let you go, are you why do I think that you're a Longhorn guy too?
Oh no, I am. Yeah. So growing up in Missouri, we didn't have I live really far from Columbia, where the university is. So I grew up with like Niner games on TV. So I grew up a Niners fan, and we grew up with Texas games. Like we were still getting the Big Eight games when I was growing up. So yeah, I grew up a huge Texas fan. I still live and die with those Longhorn seasons. More die than live lately, but. I'm hopeful. Fingers are crossed that maybe the turnaround's coming.
Hmm. Did you ever sell heroin in the Ozarks? No,
not yet.
You haven't.
If this football thing doesn't work,
yeah, there's something. I mean, you're from Missouri. It could happen for you someday, Matt.
From Missouri and the Ozarks, even so, I'm like an hour from where that show is supposed to be based.
Where are you from?
From Joplin, which is the start of the Ozarks.
Right. It's down south. Then it's about the border, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Know it. My boy's at Springfield at Missouri State.
There we go.
Yep. Hey, that's Matt Miller, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Matt, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Great insight, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you so much.
There he is, Matt Miller, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking a break. Still ahead, Dennis Dodd going to talk about this college football playoff. That's at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
8:51, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A short segment here because we've got Dennis Dodd going to join us at the top of the hour. Rolando wants to get in here. Let's talk about trading Deshaun Watson. We haven't done that in a while. What do you say, Rolando? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm fine. I'll be better when I get home from work, when I get pop open that cool, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
Great day you're having.
All right, here's my question for y'all. I was listening to the Killer Bees yesterday, and they were talking about trading Deshaun Watson to the Titans for all the rights, the naming rights, to get back the Houston Oilers. I just want to hear y'all's take. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Yeah, I know. I'd much rather have players than a name. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Give me three two first rounders, 2 second, and a player.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have that.
All right, we got our Oilers history back. It was stolen from us.
No.
Now, do we also get players? No, you traded all your players, but you can do like a love you blue thing if you want. No, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, you want to do some, because your memory was wiped clean. And if you're 25 years old and you have no memory of them, you know what you'd be saying? Wait a minute. I want the picks.
Yeah.
I don't care about Oilers. I wasn't alive when the Oilers were when they left.
No. And you're gonna trade them in division? No.
I'm different than some people. I'm like, they're gone. That's it.
Who cares?
I've got my memories of when they used to be here. That's all fine and good. I love a lot of those old Oiler players. Yeah. They left. They don't have any connection to the Titans, those old Oiler players. None.
Listen.
They have no connection, and, let's move on. But now we are
all Blue Texans.
Steel, Red Battles, Battle Red,
no.
Blue Steel, Liberty, White. Yeah. We are Clay Walker. We are Cal McNair.
Jack Easterby.
We are Jack Easterby. Like, this is, we got our thing now.
We are Matt Schaub.
You keep the Oilers stuff,
one
Bud Adams. We got this.
Yeah, we got this
on lock.
We the best.
Toro, doing Toro stuff where he's like,
Have you ever rappelled in from the top of the
I love it when he does it. I'm always like so hyped. We got the fire that shoots up. Yeah.
We got first down.
We got first down where people all yell like in unison. Yeah. They pump the crowd noise in to go first down.
And then we go,
turn on, dun, dun, dun. Got
JJ,
the Bulls.
What?
Yeah. We do the first and last name thing.
But this what do the Oilers like, have? That dude that was shooting the guns?
That was an Astrodome. Big deal. Astros had it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shared a whole stadium with another team. We and got our own team, stadium
the
with a sweet with sweet grass that we used to have. Nice. It always looked good.
Now turf.
Now field turf,
right.
Of course.
Because we tore
we've
up
got,
so many knees with the grass.
We've got, you know, a lot of tradition here.
No, not
I don't
that
need,
so much, but.
Yeah, I don't need your stinky Oilers stuff. No. Blue, salute to service. We've got that. Of course, every team has that.
Well.
Every team has that. We've got October breast cancer awareness, that fuchsia or whatever that color is.
Everybody
every
does
team
that.
Does that. Yeah. We've got sometimes Vanilla Ice will come and perform, and the one who's saying, this is a jam for all the fellas. You know, we got all that stuff.
Yeah. So we don't need that.
Laser pointers in the eyes and down in
Well, that's in
Mexico
City.
Yeah, but still, we had it.
But it was against us, though, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
I know, but it's part of our tradition.
Yeah, right, no.
It happened to Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
We had victories over former XFL quarterbacks.
I remember the original uniforms, but then we put
we got the
patch. Logo on the back right above the nameplate.
Are you ready to roll in a Hamilton Dome?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
We've got
what?
All that stuff. You know, cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah. How many times did the Oilers beat the Raiders in the playoffs? Huh?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we own the Bengals in the playoffs.
Right.
Own the Raiders in the playoffs.
Right.
Wattcat. Did they ever have a Wattcat? Did the Oilers have a Wattcat?
Nah, we don't want to remember that one, though.
Yeah, but it's ours.
It's ours. There's no question.
It's ours, you know.
Did we ever have a halfback pass by Chris Brown? No.
No.
The Oilers?
No.
No.
No. We did not have that sweet halfback pass.
No. It's 8:50.
You know what the Oilers have? Music City Miracle. Busting them up. The Broncos. Busting them up. Joe Montana busting them up.
Yeah.
You know, we've got like, yeah, okay, Jacksonville where Glover Quinn hit a ball into the Hail Mary touchdown that we lost.
What are you talking about? We beat Jacksonville's ass all the time.
Yeah, remember that time David Carr snuck the ball over the end zone in that 5-win season?
Yep.
Hey, what was
it? Yeah, they were Titans. They're still the Oilers, though. It's their history.
No, this is a deep, rich history we have here.
Right.
The city loves the Texans.
Yes.
This city right now is on fire for the Texans. They're just, they're kind of like, you know
hold,
that thing where you want to,
yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah,
hold,
like,
hold.
They're just getting ready to like, let it be one good draft pick.
Going to explode.
And then it's going to.
We're edging for the Texans.
Yeah. Houston is edging for the Texans. Is the best way.
Okay. 8:57. We got.
It's accurate, though.
Dennis Dodd.
It's accurate. You know, and they're
about like, oh. About to explode for this
Texans.
Team. Dennis Dodd up next. We're talking college football. Don't go anywhere.
Just wait a little longer.
ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.